are now joining The Mandalorian Watch.
That's right. It's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things The Mandalorian. I am your host, Alex Maxwell, and I'm not here to tell you that Toro stinks. I'm here to tell you that the one and only Mac Lacey is joining me.
There's a new Mandalorian Season 2 trailer. It's out. This is what this episode is. It's out.
I can't wait.
We are breaking down the trailer.
I took three pages of notes.
It's going to be great. We're going to get into the nitty gritty. This is kind of the official kickoff of Season 2 in my mind.
Yes.
So we are now in game time mode. We are in the on season for the podcast. So
right.
We're in it. This episode, we're going to everything trailer we
yes.
will cover.
Absolutely.
So have no fears. Let's do the business real fast so we can get to the meat.
That's right.
Twitter, follow us. Website, we have a new one. It's great. We do articles and stuff now. MandalorianWatch.com mm-hmm. or TheMandalorianWatch.com. And join our Patreon. Leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. That's it.
Let's do it. Let's All right. break down this trailer because that's what people are here to listen to. We might not be first, but by golly, we will break down everything that was in there.
It's happening. This is going to be not just a first looks, first impressions.
No, this
reaction.
Is not what this is.
This is a in-depth breakdown. We're going shot by shot.
Yep.
There's a ton of there's so much to talk about.
There's so much content. So let's just jump in. So with the trailer, the first scene we see is of a planet in view and another on the horizon. It kind of looks like a watery world or maybe a very Earth-like world. And yeah. the Razor Crest floats into frame. And at first you think everything's fine because the engines are rolling, but then it's empty
not.
And damaged.
It's the back hatch is empty, the lights are flickering, and the right engine is actually sputtering a little bit too, you realize. Yeah, so bad things have befallen the occupants of the Razor Crest at this point.
Yeah, it's like they abandoned ship.
Yeah, almost.
Or they're knocked out or something along those lines of they're just not, you know.
Captured.
it's not good. Whatever's going on, it's not good. And it gives you the indication, like, right away, like we talked about a few podcasts ago, that this is going to be the Empire Strikes Back for The Mandalorian. Like, this season will be that. And Dave Filoni even hinted at that in the EW article that we spoke about in our last podcast.
Yeah, he was talking more in terms of like you want it to be better than season one, but I think also the Empire Strikes Back reference was pointed, like that was a
double
that was
layered.
That was a little wink, and nudge there,
right?
So
kind of like the Luke Skywalker, this is not going to go the way that you think,
yeah.
And boy was he right.
Yep.
So we cut to black. We cut to black, and the Lucasfilm logo pops up as some Mongolian type chanting is heard.
Yeah.
Wasn't that interesting?
Some like throat singing type stuff.
Yeah.
I've been listening to The Who
mm-hmm.
a lot. The H-U is the how you spell the band. They're a Mongolian rock band.
Nice.
But they do like they play traditional instruments and do the throat singing and stuff.
Nice.
But, yeah.
That's really cool.
But that's what that reminded me of.
Yeah. Maybe it was them. As the scene fades back into view, we see Baby. I'm just going to call him Baby from now on. We see Baby and Mando.
We have no time for two words. It's only one, Baby.
He's Baby now. We see Baby and the Mandalorian walking with some city lights behind them, it looks like. And then we hear the voice of the armorer. And what's interesting is that this is actually dialogue taken from chapter 8 of last season. I went back and I made sure that it matched.
Yep, no additions. It's we've already heard it before, but it's contextualized in a very cool way here, I think.
What is interesting, when I replayed the scene from chapter 8, it almost feels like it's been performed in a different way. Like they restated the lines again.
I think it's definitely a different take.
Yeah.
Like than what ended up in the show, you know? But
right.
It's the same dialogue.
It's the same dialogue. So the armorer says, "Show me the one whose safety deemed such destruction." And I typed that wrong. They're entering a city that looks pretty rough, Mac. This city does not look friendly.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts or speculations upon what that city might be or what where they're at?
Blade Runner. I don't know.
Do you want to hear my theory?
Yeah, go ahead.
Nar Shaddaa.
Ooh, I was thinking
because okay. You got the like towering skyscraper structures here in this second shot of this same location, but then you've got kind of like this like the shanty town stuff below it.
Yeah,
and it's dark.
Like, the thing with the towers, it almost looks like it's built into rock structures or something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It kind of looks like that.
Sorta.
Maybe. Just the way the towers are framed or shaped, they're different. Friend of the podcast and author of the upcoming Mandalorian novel, Adam Christopher, pointed out that this is the first time that we maybe see graffiti in Star Wars besides Sabine doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, which is cool. It's interesting.
Well, it makes me wonder, you know, like maybe Sabine did tag that place.
Maybe.
No, I don't think so. That's not her style.
No. But, like, do you see where it could be Nar Shaddaa?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like man, I'm gonna put this being Nar Shaddaa right there with the armorer being a Zabrak for me.
Okay.
To completely correct factual opinions.
Gotcha. Well, okay, so... If you are new to the podcast and you're not familiar with what Nar Shaddaa is, it is in Star Wars lore. That is the moon of the Hutts.
Smuggler's moon.
So the Hutts basically control that moon. It is not Nal Hutta, which is where the Hutts are from. This is one of the moons called Nar Shaddaa, and it is a rough Coruscant-type place.
Yeah, you know the lower levels of Coruscant, like that have all the corruption and crime and all that, you know?
It's the whole planet.
It's like that, but worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad.
So...
It's bad. So the city is unique yet familiar in a way when we're looking at it. Like you said, maybe it's Nar Shaddaa.
It almost it's one of the more real, like even just looking, I'm looking at like these street lights and stuff. It's one of the more familiar looking Star Wars locations.
It looks like something that would be in District 9 or one of those movies that from that director. You know what I'm talking about? It looks like that.
From Blumhouse?
Yes. Thank you.
Blumkamp?
Something like that. It starts with a B.
Oh, no. Blumhouse is his production company.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. All right. So then we hear the armorer say, "You must reunite it with its own kind." And then we cut to Tatooine, and a shot of is that the Jundland Wastes?
I think so.
Where we see R2-D2 get shot by Jawas and.
Yeah, it's Death Valley. It's I think it's the same kind of. Portion of Tatooine there. I don't know where it was actually shot, but it's not like the Dune Sea part. It's
important for one of my points that I'm going to bring up. It's very important. Right. So we see a Tusken Raider sitting on a Bantha as the Razor Crest flies in the sky, and then we hear the Mandalorian say, "Where?" And here's what's interesting. So I was thinking, why would the Mandalorian go back to Tatooine? Like, what purpose could he have going to Tatooine? So, track with me, Mac.
I'm on board for the ride. Let's hear it.
We know something bad's happening. We suspect, and we said this on the last previous podcast episode, that at one point, Baby Yoda and the Mandalorian will get split up. Are we?
Yes.
We are in agreement with that.
I think it's going to happen. At some point in the season.
And based on what the dialogue from Chapter 8 is, as we will go into this trailer and talk about it more, we know the Mandalorian is seeking Force users or Baby's family, right? Baby Yoda's family.
Baby Yoda's people, whatever that is.
But it makes it seem, the way the trailer is contextualized, it makes it seem like he'll take any Force user, not just... his family, his species.
Yeah. No, I think that's what we should be expecting.
Yes.
Like, we're not looking at other, like, a Yoda family or something, you know. We're Force users, Jedi specifically.
So, with that in mind, it could go either way. What if he's returning to Tatooine because he has heard that Ben Kenobi's home is there? And he suspects
which,
there might be something in there.
Which could be the start of, like, sort of the Star Wars television universe. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's using the old noggin there, Alex.
It is. It really is. I thought about that. So, like, I could see a situation where he is taking Baby Yoda with him, or he's already lost Baby Yoda, and he is going in hopes to find clues of where could I find Jedi to maybe help me in my quest to get him back, or, like, what do I do with the baby when I get him back, or, you know, something along those lines. I think that's very possible. I think that's something that we need to be on the lookout for. Ben Kenobi's home. Let's go.
Yeah. And, like, obviously he's not going to be in it, because this is well after he's already departed.
Yeah. He's dead.
But that would be an interesting way to get us onto Tatooine, where maybe we could meet one of two characters or both that we feel like we're going to see in this season who are tied to Tatooine in some way.
Yep.
Those characters being Cobb Vanth, who at this time, I think, is kind of doing the peacekeeping thing on Tatooine, wearing, you know, Boba Fett's old armor. Or Boba Fett could be the man himself. Yeah.
It could be Boba Fett. Okay, I'm going to get real nerd on you guys. Boba Fett has been to Ben Kenobi's home in canon.
Yeah.
He knows where it's at.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's interesting.
Just saying. So, back to what the dialogue is saying in the trailer, the Mandalorian says, where? And then, of course, they're flying over Tatooine. The armor says, this you must determine. And then we cut to what looks like an icy crevice.
Yeah. That's an apt description.
And the Razor Crest is flying straight towards it, and then we cut to a shot of Baby in the snow and Din kneeling next to him.
And man, he's so cute still.
He really is. Cuter. He's adorable.
Yeah.
He's getting a personality too.
Yes. I love that we're seeing kind of his mannerisms and stuff. Like he's actually like actualizing as an individual.
Yeah.
Even though this has been like a week, I think.
Right.
But it's you love to see it.
Right. And then we cut to the armorer's dialogue. It says, the songs of eons past tell of battles between Mandalore the Great and an order of sorcerers called Jedi. And then here's what's cool. I don't know if you spotted this or not, Mac, but in rewatching the trailer, let me pause and say, neither Mac nor I really engaged on Twitter in terms of reading theories or looking or listening to anything, because we wanted this to be our fresh take. So
we tried to come in with the most raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's very possible you have already heard this or seen this on Twitter, but I am having this revelation by myself. Okay. So like this might not be a fresh take, but it is for me. So we cut to a harbor-like town, right? Mm-hmm. Very wet looking place. Yep. Very fish like town. Well, if you look closely, there are a lot of Quarren, the species that also inhabits Mon Cala.
That's true.
So maybe this is Mon Cala. And just like the other side where the Cala, like the Mon Cala people don't live, but the Quarren live.
Yeah. So I hadn't noticed that. Like now I'm looking at a still of this. I also didn't like pour over screenshots or anything for this, cause I wanted to like come with it as a, piece, a trailer, you know? But now that I am looking at it, I notice all the Quarren and
it's like majority
fish nets. And then we actually see a boat,
We will get to the boat.
Yeah.
We will get to the boat.
It looks like there's definitely some Quarren.
So
another aquatic species that has like a reverse scuba tank on its back.
Selkath, I hope.
Selkath, okay.
They're cool.
Maybe.
They're catfish people from Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, no, they're great. They have a really weird legal system. And I know this from being in their courts for forever trying to get the right outcome.
Man, they know how to harvest culto.
They do.
They sure do. So, if it's not Mon Cala, maybe it's a colony that the Quarren established.
Yeah, and we also don't know, like, it could be kind of like a Jawa thing. Like, we had previously thought, Tatooine's like the home world, but then maybe that's not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to just stay there.
Yeah.
But, of course, they probably would go to another watery planet.
That would make sense. Yeah. So they could like breathe and stuff.
Right. Do things. So the Mandalorian is walking into the harbor with his jetpack on. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but that makes me very concerned. And if you're a first time listener, we have determined that anytime a Mandalorian puts on a jetpack,
it's over. It's bad news.
Usually except ends in their demise.
So chapter 8 of season 1 has been the only time that that has proved me wrong. If there's like a main character that only uses his jetpack like one or two times, you can bet that they're going to die.
Yeah.
When it happens.
Except Din Djarin.
Yep.
This is the way. So we cut to the same town and there's a mysterious hooded woman in black
Sasha Banks
robes watching. And so, yeah, a lot of people at first, I think, thought that was Rosario Dawson just because it's like the trailer is kind of dark a little bit.
Yeah, and there's like some haze to it.
It is not her. It is the wrestler.
Sasha Banks.
Yes. So, yeah, with the context of the trailer and what is being said, you know, they're talking about Mandalore the Grey and fighting a sorcerer order called the Jedi. And then we see her, who's hooded. The trailer seems to be implying like she's either a Jedi, but she looks Sith.
She does. And we've seen Luke wear all black and stuff. And so, like, that's not necessarily... And Anakin wore black. And so, like, well, that's maybe not the best example, but... Yeah, Jedi can wear black, it's fine. But yeah, it's interesting. She's hooded, you know. I think are we just going to
go ahead. Go ahead.
I think she's like the new class of Inquisitor that's being trained by Moff Gideon.
Same. That's exactly where I was going.
Great. Yep. We're on the same wavelength then.
Yep. I don't think she's a good guy.
No. I think in Star Wars it's usually pretty easy to tell who's a good guy, who's a bad guy. Usually your gut instinct is right.
I saw a lot of people theorizing she might be Sabine.
I saw that as well.
I don't think that's the case. Trailer would do that. Asian, yes, also. Right.
Like,
right.
So, yeah. But yeah, if Sabine's going to show up, it's not going to be in a trailer. You're right.
Yeah. It would be such a weird red herring because, like, they're talking about the Jedi and, like, obviously the Mandalorian is kind of worried about taking baby to the Jedi, but he knows that's what they need to do.
Yeah, to his ancestral enemy.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but, like, that's the thing. Like, what is the Jedi right now? Is it just Luke? Has he started training anybody?
Yeah, we don't really know. We don't have a clear timeline on how that all goes. Watching this trailer the very first time was the very first time that I even gave much, like, let the thought occupy bandwidth within my mind that Luke Skywalker might in some way be tied in to the Mandalorian.
Yeah. I've been saying it, man.
I've never said that's not a possibility straight out, but I've never been a... I've never thought that that's likely.
You got to be careful how that's done because this is the Mandalorian, you know?
Yeah.
But a name drop or even a hologram of Luke.
Something would be cool.
I think that
would
be
possible.
I don't
mind that. Yeah, I definitely don't mind that.
Or like even like maybe we see him in the distance type of thing, like Back to the Future type situation there. But yeah, it's interesting. Here's the thing, and maybe we can talk about this after we break down the trailer. This felt like I want to say this correctly because I don't want to be misunderstood in this. This felt like it goes in a different direction than what The Force Awakens ends up at. Does that make sense?
You're going to have to unpack that a little bit, I think.
We'll get back
to that. I
don't
know exactly what you mean.
I needed to say it so I don't forget, but we'll come back to that. Right. So we're going to keep going. We see the hooded figure, the wrestler. What's her name again? Sasha Banks. Thank you.
Sasha Banks, yeah.
And like I said, the trailer seems to be implying she's a Jedi, but she looks very Sithly. And the Mandalorian is scanning the crowd like he senses something. And then we hear the Mandalorian say, "You expect me to search the galaxy and deliver this creature to a race of enemy sorcerers?" And then the shot is honing in on the hooded figure as more and more people walk in front of her, and then she's gone.
Yeah, it's a classic Jaws shot.
Yeah.
Where you've got people passing in front of them in the camera and stuff.
Right.
It doesn't cut in like Jaws does.
No. But. And then Baby looks up at Din, and he looks back down at Baby, and the armorer voices over and says, "This is the way." And then we get a hard cut to Tech saying, "Streaming October 30th. I don't think that will be in the show. Then we see a boat.
You don't think that's going to be like chapter 3 or so?
No, no. Then we see a boat.
A boat in
Star Wars.
Water. Presumably water, a liquid of some sort.
This boat stole the internet's heart last night.
It did.
it's like we've never seen a boat in Star Wars before, and we have. Not that kind of boat, but we have seen boats.
What boat?
Well,
we got the Bongo in Phantom Menace.
And then Rise of Skywalker, she takes that skiff
I got the skiff.
And then Kamino, I just feel like, I guess they're riding those weird pterodactyl things.
I've never
things,
seen
but,
them like on a like a man-made thing in that
But
water.
this felt like a very human, like Earth, New Jersey boat.
Yeah. Like this could be carrying a shipping container across the Atlantic.
Like
right
it's
now.
Going to Gotham City.
Yeah.
Like this boat is straight up going to dock at the Narrows, and Batman's going to have to search it for drugs.
No, it's carrying something that one of Batman's villains is going to
Scarecrow.
Steal.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. It is a boat, that is for sure. And then we, boat. Baby and Din stand. Baby.
It's just so funny that we get this massive new trailer that we've all been waiting for, and everybody's seeing, like just narrowed in on boat.
There's a boat in Star
it's
Wars.
A boat.
Yeah, Baby and how do you like me calling him Baby?
I don't like it.
Okay, I don't either. Baby Yoda.
It's either like weird or it just reminds me of Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, that's what I said. Nobody puts Baby in the corner.
Yeah,
yeah. Baby Yoda, and I don't like calling him Din. In The Mandalorian.
I don't either. Like, also, I always make a point of calling him Din, like, once per episode to make sure that everybody knows that
we
know
their
his
name
is. But I don't like calling him that.
I'm glad we can get this out on the podcast in
this
the
is
open.
The venting. This is what people wanted when they tuned into this episode, was these opinions and nothing else.
So, Baby Yoda and The Mandalorian stand on this rinky boat as Quarren work behind them, and as I wrote down again, they are on a boat.
They're on a boat.
They are on a boat.
And it's got like space barnacles and stuff on it. It's great. Lived in. It's perfect.
I can't wait to see Davy Jones just walk in the background. He could fit in Star Wars. He really would be a great Star Wars villain. Anyways, cut to the race.
It would be the perfect opportunity to introduce Hondo into The Mandalorian and have the joke be that he like is an actual pirate on an actual boat, and he's like freaked out and knows nothing about the water.
That is such a missed opportunity, because I know they did not do that.
No, they definitely didn't, but it'd be incredible.
Oh my gosh, that is incredible.
the whole joke the whole time is that he's the only one who's an actual,
he's
like,
afraid of water,
a pirate, and he's like afraid of water and sailing.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Hondo Inaka is, Wikipedia. So we cut to the Razor Crest being escorted by two X-Wings. Let's go.
Trapper Wolf in the game. Yeah. Let's hope not. For the Mandalorian's sake.
Only if they're backing him up. Yeah.
Oh, if they're backing him up, yeah, great.
Yeah.
But no, I have a feeling that these X-Wings are not, this is not a social call. This is not a friendly encounter. I think maybe he is being escorted into an official facility or ship of some sort.
Yes. The Mandalorian looks over and they have locked S-foils in attack position.
Yeah.
And then we get a beautiful shot of the clouds as the Razor Crest races through them and the X-Wings right behind them. And I love it, especially after that Star Wars Squadron trailer thing that we got yesterday.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. I need more of that in my life.
Yeah, for sure. I love, like, Star Wars space battles. Phenomenal. Like, the thing that made Star Wars as a franchise, I think, is the trench run scene. Like, a space battle. I think that's what, like, the reason we're talking tonight about this. It's like that. So, like, you can't overlook the space battle aspect. Obviously, that's not the heart of the franchise, but I do think it's the reason that we're still talking about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
also, I still love that they're the old X-Wings.
Yes.
Like, they are.
What? It's just like, what, five or six years after Return of the Jedi?
They have definitely not transitioned out of that technological era yet.
Well, we do know that Mon Mothma is kind of like, you know what, we need to.
Yeah, she's also like, we're not ordering any new X-Wings.
Right. Right.
We're actually trying to get rid of the X-Wings we have.
Exactly. Exactly. And then we cut to a shot of someone, most likely the Mandalorian, on a speeder bike zooming through the desert, which is presumably Tatooine. It could be Toro Calican. Who knows?
It could.
It could be. It could be.
There is not a 0% possibility.
No.
But.
Oh, man. I forgot to do something as I look at the notes, and you could quickly do it if you see the notes right now. But we cut to a shot of Greef and Kara walking with a slight smile on their faces. And they look to be on the same planet that we start off on, where the covert is.
Navarro.
Navarro. That's the name. Yeah.
Normally, I'm asking you for the planet name.
For whatever reason.
And it's always that one. That one has, like, does not stick in my mind. No.
Arvala 7. I know Arvala 7. You
and
don't.
And you know the chapter 4.
Sorgan.
Sorgan, yeah. I'm like, it's not Spagyric, but I know it's close.
Sorgan, I remember it because I think that sounds like a Star Trek planet, not a Star Wars planet.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorgan.
It's too hard.
I wonder if it's named after somebody.
Probably. Maybe. Probably. Anyways, they're on Navarro. It looks like Navarro, does it not?
It does. It definitely does. It's the same kind of like, yeah, the gates, the same color palette in the soil. And
a little lighter, though. Like, it's like not under oppression anymore.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Interesting.
Maybe it's just like the light's really good at that hour.
Maybe. It's possible it could be a different planet. I mean, that's totally possible. Could. But it looks like Navarro to me.
Yeah.
Then we cut to a shot of several TIE fighters folding up their wings, ready to fly into battle. So there's more than one. And maybe these are Inquisitor TIE fighters, Mac.
Could be. So we have kind of put forth that we sort of think Moff Gideon is maybe an Inquisitor. It's possible. He has a lightsaber. His armor is kind of similar. And he's almost like kind of hinted at a Force connection, so very possible. So yeah, maybe these are just like the type of TIE fighters that Inquisitors have, you know? And like, we don't know.
It
like,
could
obviously,
just be TIE fighters. I mean,
yeah, they could all do that, and we just don't know. But,
right?
Like, maybe that's the landing, and then when they're in space, that's when they just put them in the little hangar things from Force Awakens. Maybe, but yeah, we don't know. Like. Obviously, like, Inquisitors, I don't think, would go on to become Moffs, like, under the normal Empire. But this is afterwards, baby, so anything could have happened. He could have claimed the title Moff, you know? Like,
no doubt.
No doubt.
Or Snoke put him in charge of something.
Yeah, maybe.
It's very possible. Or Rey Sloane. Who knows who's in charge right now?
Oh, dude, what if Rey Sloane was the big bad at the end of the whole show.
Or Thrawn's back, which...
Or Thrawn's back. And then we get Thrawn and Ezra Bridger?
I'm not going to say no. Then we hard cut to stormtroopers racing down a corridor as Imperial alarms sound off in the background, which is just a great sound.
Yep. It's so immediately recognizable and iconic. You know?
Yeah,
I think
that's
the Rogue
Empire.
One trailer... is the best use of it that I've... But, Yeah, it's always good.
And then we cut to scout troopers on speeder bikes zooming over a cliff, and it's an awesome shot. But like, how much do you want to bet that two of these scout troopers are Jason Sudeikis and Adam Pally? They're not dead.
I was trying to remember what befell them.
I don't think they died.
I don't think anything. I don't think we really know.
Bacta tank, and they're fine.
I would like for like them to come back as recurring comic relief, sort of. I think that'd be a fun bit, right?
Yeah. And they always get beat up.
Tag and Bink,
mm-hmm.
the two stormtrooper goofball kind of.
Yeah, that's them.
Yeah,
that's them. I mean, I've even heard theories that that's what their names are.
That it's actually them.
Yeah, that's them.
But it's the same general function.
Same concept. Yeah. Then, if you turn on the subtitles, like a good podcaster would.
I did not. I have not yet, but
it gives you a little hint at one of the new characters' names. And so like I tweeted that out on our Twitter. Why do I always say I tweeted it out on our Twitter? Of course, that's where you tweet.
You tweeted it out on my Twitter, though. Sometimes that happens, you know? It gets confusing. You got to clarify.
That's true.
Also, I want to get this out here real fast. 98% of the interactions you have with our Twitter account, it's Alex.
I think most have figured that out.
I think so. But
I'm kind of offended by it because some are like, this isn't as nuanced as I was expecting. This must be Alex. What does that mean?
I don't think that's the case.
Hmm. I do. Anyways, if you turn on the subtitles, the one-eyed alien that looks like it's from Clash of the Titans is named Gore Koresh.
Koresh.
He's David Koresh's brother. Anyways. He says... You know this is no place for a child. And then we get a quick shot of the Mandalorian in water. Maybe it's the sinking boat. Maybe the boat is sinking and he's trying to get out.
That'd be tragic because
baby Yoda is on that boat as well.
Well, but the boat. We love the boat. I'm thinking strictly of the boat's well-being. Dude, boat 2020, honestly.
Boaty McBoke face.
Yeah.
We got to protect that boat at all costs. I'm going to buy that boat. Take it on the Okoy River.
I think the fact that was it Australia, I think, that named the boat?
Boaty.
The fact that, like, I think it's the greatest testament to the human spirit that everyone rallied together. The only thing that anyone has ever been able to, like, unify any group of people over was naming this boat Boaty McBoat.
I just love that you're like, who cares about Baby Yoda? The boat is sinking. That's not good.
Look, Baby Yoda was 2019. We've moved on.
There's 2020 is the year of the boat. In Star Wars. Oh my gosh. All right. Anyways.
I'll tell you what, I didn't have Star Wars boat on my 2020 bingo card. So it's at least a nice surprise.
If we don't get a Lego set of that boat.
Of the boat.
What are we even doing, Lucasfilm?
I want a t-shirt that's just the boat.
Hey, we need some merch. Make it.
Maybe.
No, seriously. Call it Star Wars boat and then put the image of the boat on the shirt.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Look for that in 2 weeks.
On our website, we will be linking to our merch, our e-commerce store very, very soon. So.
Star Wars boat. All right. So.
No, but no joke. Like,
it's amazing, and I would die for it. I would die for that boat. Anyways, he's trying to get out of the boat for some reason instead of going down with it, and then a quick shot of the Mandalorian running in his jetpack igniting, and he zooms over a crevasse. He is into crevasses this year.
There's a lot of crevasses.
Crevices.
And that's okay. I'm here for a crevasse.
Me too. And then we have a quick shot of the Mandalorian shooting out a light back on that, what I assume is that city planet, which you speculate is Nar Shaddaa.
Maybe. And there's a dude straight up hanging from that light by his feet.
All right. Now, get this. I got another good theory here. Quick shot. And again, have not read anything. This is just me, but I probably bet other people have thought this too. Quick shot of the Mandalorian on that ice world. And then I thought, what if this is Alum?
Ooh.
AKA Star Killer Base, which in it, there's a lot of indication that that place becomes Star Killer Base. Base because it's like one giant lightsaber crystal. Has that been confirmed? It has not been confirmed.
Because I remember that going around a little bit, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Highly, highly hinted at.
That makes sense. Because, I mean, you'd want your massive Death Star thing to have kyber crystals at the
center. It's already there. So, yeah. You don't even have to mine it. It's just there. So maybe it's that planet where the Jedi have several temples, and if you've played Jedi Fallen Order, you can go there. If you've watched the Clone Wars, they go there several times to get lightsaber crystals. It's a very important place in Star Wars. So
And it's very important to the Jedi.
Exactly.
Which that would make total sense.
Exactly.
Yep.
Or maybe it's Crow Nest.
Could be.
Mandalorian ice
Inception
planet.
Inception World.
Inception World. Which, if you've seen Star Wars Rebels, you know what we're talking about. If not,
if you don't, go back and watch our Mandalorian rewatch episodes where we cover all the Mandalorian episodes from the Clone Wars and Rebels. So go watch that. You can see what we're talking about with Crow Nest.
Yeah. And
or
then we get
to that. Don't watch it because that'd be very boring.
Yeah.
It'd be a very boring watch.
It would.
Listen to it.
And then we get the Mandalorian saying, wherever I go, he goes, and our heart melts.
And I think that's the kiss of death for the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda staying together in this season. I think the fact that he said that, it's like, oh, yep, well, they're getting separated.
Yeah, no doubt.
So,
and then we have another quick shot of the Mandalorian in an ice cave carrying Baby Yoda. So
that's totally Ilum. That's totally Ilum.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so. It's not... Crow Nest is not that icy. Crow Nest is more like you said, Inception World, where it's literally the set of Inception at the end.
Yeah.
It's just that. The whole world. It's a very small planet. Then we
That set was actually in somebody's dream. So really, Crow Nest is not even real. It's an abstract concept.
Okay. Anyways, we get a very quick shot of the Razor Crest burning up in atmosphere. And so maybe that's a possible continuation of the first shot.
Yeah. I think that would be logical. But it also could be completely different because it's not like the Razor Crest can only be in distress once in the,
one time.
In the season.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then we get a quick shot of the Mandalorian entering what looks to be like a WWE for Gamorreans. A wrestling den, maybe arena, if you'd like to call it that. And
it reminds me so much, especially like the shape of the ring and stuff, of the Jango Fett Bounty Hunter video game.
Yes, it does.
The very first level.
Oh my goodness.
This is like exactly it.
I'm pretty sure that was on what planet?
I think it was Nar Shaddaa.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Full Look circle. At you. You said wow to yourself. All right.
I'm amazing.
Wow. That was a really good theory by
I've
me.
I've had like one thing while Alex has been over here just like dumping insight on us. And I've been like, nope, I'm cool.
Anyways,
I'm good and smart.
Yeah, they're doing like this UFC fight with weapons in a ring. And two Gamorreans are fighting. And if you remember, one of the very first things that we saw about season two was a little like thing of Gamorrean, like John Favreau tweeted out, like it was like a statue of a Gamorrean, a very skinny looking one.
Yeah, they're in shape.
They work out.
Yeah, this is like the featherweight division.
Yeah, this is not Jabba's Gamorreans.
No.
And then presumably in that same wrestling arena, the Mandalorian sits with a one-eye alien who is named Gore Koresh, like I said, and then Koresh says, so I've heard about how the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda, they don't go anywhere without each other. And then suddenly, many dangerous looking people pull out their blasters on the Mandalorian. Big mistake. Big mistake. Bad. The Mandalorian activates the whistling birds, and then the money shot of the entire trailer, Baby Yoda looks around, decides he doesn't want any of that, and shuts his prim.
And it's his pram?
Pram.
Pram? Sorry, that was a really... Man, I'm a bully.
I spelled it wrong.
That's all good.
I spelled it wrong. My bad.
No, it's so cute.
It is amazing.
This was the only thing that tore my attention away from Boat and back to Baby Yoda. Like, it took a lot, but we're here. And now I'm... Yeah. But closing it, like we were saying earlier, like, getting to see his personality, him, like, actually having a little bit of agency, it seems like, now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably just like, oh, he's used to the Mandalorian. Like, he hasn't aged any, really, but, like, especially not in, you know, Yoda species years.
Right.
But he's used to the Mandalorian. He's, like, spent some time being in these kind of situations, you know? Mm-hmm. So now he's like, yeah, I can actually act and, like, make some decisions of my own. So that's fun.
Yeah, I'm getting out of here. This is, you're all about to die, and I don't want to see it because I'm a very young 50-year-old man. So then we cut to black as it sounds like the Mandalorian is killing everyone. And then we open back up to see that the Mandalorian has killed everyone.
Except for one dude.
Zabrak.
Yeah. Who gets a knife in his chest.
And you know what that represents, Mac?
This is Lucasfilm's subtle message to me that the Armorer is not a Zabrak. Is that what you're about to say?
That's exactly what I was about to say.
See, I was going to say the opposite. I think this is a clear... I have an actual thought, so I'm going to put away the fun bit thought because I need to get to the actual thought.
Get to the actual thought, then.
This whole black section, I think, is why the trailer was originally pulled.
Too violent?
No, possibly that, but also, like, maybe... So it could have been too violent or gory, you know, depending on how stuff goes. I doubt gory because it's Star Wars, but... maybe there was something that happened during that fight. It could be as simple as, like, that fight didn't look that good. Or it could be something like, the Mandalorian has the Darksaber and pulls it out and slices a dude. You know?
That's a good point.
It could be something... I'm not saying that's probable, but, like, I think this black section is the reason... Leaving just a section of black in a trailer where you're trying to show off your product is, like, kind of... a weird choice, right? And it's definitely an atypical one. A valid storytelling choice, but that's not really what trailers go for.
Right.
So I think that's the reason. And so something happens in that fight, maybe. Maybe there's a character that we are not supposed to know that they're there yet. Or, you know, who knows?
Like, oh, I didn't see that person in the background. Can't include that. Maybe. I think that your original speculation of why they pulled the trailer a few weeks ago is correct, because we didn't see any of the hinted at or speculated characters like we thought we would. And I think one of them was in the trailer and they realized, you know what? Let's keep that. Let's keep that for the show.
Yeah.
You don't want it because the Mandalorian is going to get the buzz anyway. You want to get the buzz when the show comes out, like each episode. You want that pop and buzz, not for the trailer, but for the actual show.
You want everybody to be like, whoa, Ahsoka showed up this week. Like, yeah.
Right. So then we see the Mandalorian throw the knife right into that Zabrak's heart. And it's Lucasfilm literally saying to Mac, your theory sucks. And the Zabrak dies and sputters, and it's very sad. And
it's
then,
actually a connection because the traditional Mandalorian crafted Beskar weapon is being reunited with a Zabrak. It was Zabrak hands that crafted it in the first place.
That's good. I like that. And then the Mandalorian says, this is the way, but I have a feeling he didn't actually say that right after that.
You don't think that's just how he, that's his catchphrase? He just, that's how he ends
That would be
his
super
fights.
Weird. I think
that
was just,
they needed, kills.
They needed to end the trailer somehow. And so you didn't want to just end it with the Zabrak being stabbed in the heart and that's it.
Yeah, you know, some people like notch the butt of a rifle or something, but yeah. He just says this is the way.
I hate Zabrak, so I gotta kill him.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's the way.
I've only been able to really come to respect and follow one Zabrak in my life.
If you're new to the podcast, he believes the armorer is a Zabrak, and I don't.
Yeah, but you also believe that Toro Calican is a good character.
Some people don't get art, Mac, and that's okay.
I guess that's true. I guess you're just one of those people.
Nice. So,
welcome to the Playground Insults podcast.
So,
I know you are, but what am I?
I will come back to what I meant earlier, but just give your general thoughts and impressions of the trailer, and what are you thinking? What are you feeling for season two?
I'm very excited. Everything here looks awesome. It also feels like they are really holding back, which is great.
Yes, like, Jonah Marie, friend of the podcast, Jonah Marie Macias, made that point on Twitter, and I did see that, where it's like, this is the perfect trailer because it doesn't give anything away really except Star Wars boat.
Yeah. Which is really the point of the season. So like they kind of blew it, but
right.
Maybe the mistake they originally made was that they didn't include boat.
And they knew.
And so they were like, no, we need to give the people boat.
We just call it boat.
I'm just gonna call it boat, period.
Okay.
So it will be stylized as lowercase BOAT period.
Please. Okay. We've got boat, image boat. Of the boat, and then the Mandalorian watch somewhere on the shirt.
I think it's just boat.
Okay, that's fine. I'm totally good with that. Okay,
I think that's the shirt, man.
And if anybody asks, then you have to explain the podcast.
You have to, because word of mouth.
Contract.
Man, that's where we're at. Yeah,
contract. Anyways, she made that point, and I thought.
Well, I definitely agree with her then. Like, they show like three planets total, like no really. Almost no interior locations.
There's no villain, the fighting ring.
Yeah.
Like, not really. Like, no Moff Gideon. We see stormtroopers and stuff, but...
Yeah. So, yeah, man. I think it's... And then I think maybe Sasha Banks' character is, like, supposed to be, like, a villain in the trailer.
So
I think they're like, hey, here's a... figure in a black robe, that'll be enough of a bad guy presence.
Stop looking at Baby Yoda and don't you dare get on that boat.
Yep. Dude, no one could keep me away from boat. I'm getting on the boat.
Love that boat. any other thoughts, impressions besides really cool, amazing, can't wait for season two?
Yeah, just phenomenal. I think we're going cool places. No huge insights or anything from the trailer. I think, like, I haven't had any opinion altering revelations from this trailer or anything really. But definitely a great trailer, and it's just so good to be seeing footage and hearing stuff. The music for this trailer still very sparse.
Yes,
very sparse, which. You had mentioned that maybe they were having a little bit of issues with the music.
I wonder if they're not totally done with it yet.
Maybe, yeah.
Because that's usually the last thing.
Yeah, that is like pretty much the last thing, yeah.
Yeah.
You can like score while you're still working on VFX stuff, but it's pretty much, it's in the last stages.
So, yeah, for me, obviously super pumped and excited. I wish we could be the podcast where as it's happening, we are recording. Like, I wish that could be us, but we both have jobs.
We have
that
jobs.
We can't
so
do
I
that.
I was working when it came out.
And, you know, like, I'm teaching the future of America, you know? And so,
there
like, we may not get to it first, but by golly, we will break it down in glorious detail.
Glorious detail. And no other podcast will bring you the hot takes and opinions on boat.
I think we're going to change our logo to the boat.
I think it's going to be boat, dude.
Just boat. Boat that Watch.
Would be poor marketing.
On Boat our Watch.
Part, I think, but
so. Let me go back to what I was saying earlier.
Yes,
when we were talking about the mysterious Sithly hooded figure.
Yes.
It feels like this is a direct sequel to the world of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like it's going towards the Force Awakens is what I mean. And like, so I want to be careful how I say that. And I'm not saying like they are like, this is like the real new sequel to the original trilogy, not the sequel trilogy. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That's not what I'm saying. I'm a big fan of The Force Awakens. It's my favorite Star Wars movie. I've got opinions on The Rise of Skywalker, but that's not what this podcast is. But I can't help but feel like with the introduction of Force users, it throws everything into limbo, because I feel like what we know from the sequel trilogy is Luke trained Jedi and Kylo Ren turned.
Yep.
And that's all we really know in terms of dark side users. And we know that the Knights of Ren are out there, so that's a possibility. But that feels so different than what this is.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I mean, in the movies, we are looking at the A-listers of the galaxy. Like, these are the movers and shakers, the heroes and villains that define, you know, the galaxy, right? In The Mandalorian, we're just looking at this dude, like, trying to make his way in the world, you know? I think that's kind of the difference.
Well, and I think, too, for me, that's why I enjoyed the Aftermath trilogy so much, is because it did not focus mainly on the heroes of Star Wars or the original cast. They pop in. That's kind of what I'm hoping The Mandalorian is. Yeah, you might see someone you know every now and then, but this is The Mandalorian story from his perspective. And there's something about the introduction of Force users in this, and we know that it's likely Ahsoka Tano, who was Anakin Skywalker's Padawan, is going to be in this, and that just feels like it shifts something for me.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, but even like in canon somehow. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Not really.
If you know what I'm, I don't know how to describe it. So if you're listening and you feel the same way, but you don't know how to describe it, or maybe you do, reach out, because like I'm having obviously a hard time expressing what I'm feeling, but it feels like there's a major shift of something and I can't pinpoint what it is.
Do you think it might be just the fact that we're now transitioning into Star Wars TV as Star Wars?
It feels more important, doesn't it?
Yeah, because there's nothing else on the horizon.
That's true.
I think, like, is that maybe part of it?
It's part of it. But it, again, let me be clear. This is not my view or opinion. But it feels like, let me just say, it feels like the makers of The Mandalorian, the writer, producers, is like, this is your sequel trilogy if you didn't like the sequel trilogy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm feeling.
Okay.
Is that kind of like, I don't know.
Is that a good, bad, or
I don't know what that means. I don't know. It depends on like which sequel trilogy movie I watch and if you ask me.
That's true. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Well, listeners, let Alex know if he's not alone.
Is canon important?
No. At this point, no. Yeah. It's all just Star Wars now.
But it's just, it's everything to me.
Canon?
Yes. Like Toro Calican. It's everything to me.
Toro Calicanon? Both. All right. Are we doing voicemails? You want to do a voicemail?
We do have some voicemails. Let's wait for a few more to roll in.
All right.
Well, and we'll do another one. We'll do another episode.
We haven't had a lot of time. We'll do a follow up. Maybe we'll do just a voicemail follow up.
That's exactly what we're going to do.
That sounds great. We are planning our podcast on air. This is phenomenal.
We literally did not plan before we started.
We didn't talk. Like,
Well, I tried to, and then you said, stop talking to me.
You're right, because I was tired of it.
No, explain why.
Wait, what happened?
Yeah, I remember I tried to talk to you about the trailer, and you said, stop talking to me. Because you wanted to save it for the podcast.
Oh.
Good Lord, you're the one that did this.
It's been a long day, dude.
Wow. All right.
Fair enough. Boat. Well, I hope that you... I'm the one that did this. I hope the listeners have enjoyed what I have wrought. And we'll wrap it up. But yeah, send your voicemails in. There's just... Like, we have just the best fans and community, and
we really
love interacting with y'all. And I think the best and most direct way is, like, through voice, you know? Like, just
reach out. Love it. Just
drop us a line. It's one of my favorite things is opening up the voicemail box and seeing what we have and everything. So if you want to give us a call and leave a message, it is 205-259-6675. That's 205-259-6675. So leave us voicemails. We'll play them on the air. And we want to hear what you have to say. The other best way to reach out to us and connect with us is by joining our Patreon. We are getting into major game time Mandalorian season 2 mode. We're about to be ramping up production. Alex and I are probably gonna hate life here for like a couple months. Not hate life, but
it's going to be difficult for us.
that is gonna be laid upon our shoulders. But you can help alleviate that stress by giving us $2 or $1 on Patreon.
It's not just giving us $2. You get extra bonus episodes where we do talk about things like The Rise of Skywalker. We have reviewed the Alphabet Squadron book, and I can't wait to review the second one.
Shadowfall.
We also have awesome commentary episodes, and then when we are in season, which we pretty much are in season, but every episode we usually do a voicemail hotline. We will do an extra one just for patrons.
Yeah. And so, like, I think that's going to be a really fun opportunity, because that's where, like, first of all, we can get to know our patrons better. And then
we're
also
thinking about having, like, just a voicemail line for them.
Yeah.
That they could,
like,
call if they,
like, just for that. And then we use that just for, just to help foster and build that community and, like, knit it a little tighter, you know? Great way for us to get to know you, and then also you guys to get to know each other, too.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, interacting in that way. So be on the lookout for that. Patrons, we love you. Thanks so much for your support. Hope you're enjoying the extra content and stuff.
But we don't love you more than Boat.
No, Boat is supreme. So, sorry. It's you should not feel offended by that.
You should love Boat more, too.
Yeah, my own family does not compare to Boat, so...
Anyways, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I forgot. Because you interrupted
me. Patrons, you said pay us a dollar or two.
Yeah, give us money. All that money does go back into the show. So
absolutely,
like,
100%.
We just did like a giveaway. Mm-hmm. And
we pay for a website
and everything. And got the website going, got hosting fees. So it all goes back in. So we're giving to the show is only going to expand the show. We're not pocketing any of that. And also I'm going to be checking Patreon a lot more often now and trying to get back with people, a lot quicker and stuff now that season's going. So give us a follow there. We love you for doing that. And, we love you just for listening too. Thank you guys so much. We will be back as soon as there's a noteworthy thing that comes out with The Mandalorian. And until then, keep the watch. Unforgotten.